Hi, everyone. Welcome to Analyze Your Trade, episode number 55 for November 6, 2018. We are broadcasting live on YouTube at 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And I'm also posting the audio-only episodes of the audio-only versions of all episodes on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Podbean, or wherever else people listen to podcasts. So if you would like to sign up for that, just search for Timing Research and subscribe there. Today, we will be discussing your trade ideas. And over the last few days, about 30 people submitted to five symbols each, and I put together a list for today, which you should be seeing on your screen right now if you're watching the video, and we're going to get through as many of those as we can. So my name is David Cosmeter. I'm the creator of TimingResearch.com, and I developed a show with Dean of Follow Me Trade, but he is off this week as moderator, and I have Mike Conney here to moderate this week, so I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to him.
Hey, David. Thanks for having me on again. Good afternoon, everybody. It is Election Day here in the United States. It's 11/6 of November. And boy, do we have a big event tonight to all be looking at and playing with. It's great to have a full house here today. We have a lot to go over. And I'm going to start off with, who am I going to start off with? I'm going to start off with Jim Kenny of Options Professor. Jim, why don't you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about who you are?
Sure. I'm Kenny, the content provider for OptionProfessor.com. And basically, it's an educational firm on the uses and risks of all the different strategies of options for cash flow purposes, hedging purposes, and limited risk speculation using all types of strategies. And basically, every Friday, I have a weekly market update on a podcast. And at the end of the broadcast, I can explain how people can take advantage of that weekly update.
Thanks, Jim. Next up, good to you, Michael. Michael Filigaria of Logical Signals. Sorry about that.
That's quite all right. And good afternoon, everybody. I'm Michael Filigaria. I'm with LogicalSignals.com. I am the chief, the cook, and the bottle washer, which is a great advantage when you're having to hire or fire people. And in any case, I have been trading since 1979. I've been a market maker, an options market maker here on the Pacific. I've also traded on the London Traded Options Market, the European Options Exchange, and got my feet wet on the electronic market at the DTB, which is the German Bourse. Came back to the United States, returned to San Francisco, went back to the trading floor, the options trading floor. But then about 2001, just kind of decided things were kind of winding down and everybody was leaving. So I came and set up myself here in my own home and switched from trading options to trading futures, which I never thought I'd be able to do. And now I can't think of why it took me so long. So that's what I'm doing right now. I'm just basically a futures trader. I have core positions, but basically just futures.
Thanks, Michael. And last but not least, we have Neil Batho. And Neil is with TradingView.net. Neil, please introduce yourself and tell everybody about what you do.
Okay, thanks for having me on the show again. I used to be a broker at a big firm 20 years ago, and I learned in the trading that brokers are not actually traders. We're not there to pick stocks. They taught us that we are asset gatherers, and we are not really to help you win in the market. We're just there to gather your assets. And so, although I had some great training there and met a lot of great people, I got out of there after about a year and did some consulting for a while and started my own service where I actually used the systems I learned when I was a broker, which was a point and figure charting. We had a whole sister office that used point and figure charting, and I started my service with that. And now I've implemented the Ichimoku Cloud as well at the same time. And I send out stock and option picks to my clients. That's it.
What happened?
Hey, Mike, did we lose you?
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Sorry about that. My microphone pulled out of my computer. I ran over it. For everybody who doesn't know me, I'm Mike Pisani of SmartOptionTrading.com. I'm always doing dumb things like that. So there, if you're looking for information on me, you can go to my website. What I do there is every day I do a morning video for my subscribers, do a nightly video. We trade all day long off option flow, but not necessarily options. And really, it's about figuring out what the market's doing and what the sentiment is that really makes me want to either put a lot of risk on or scalp trade, more or less what I've been doing recently. Doing this since the financial crisis collapse, and I've been doing this full time now for about 4 years. And it's actually, you know, everybody thinks it's as easy as it's not, guys. I know all of you guys have been around for a while, and you know, maybe a quick conversation. Everybody always says to me, "Oh, I want to do this full time." It's not easy to do this full time, is it, guys?
And then there was silence.
Yeah. So it takes work and effort and a lot of homework.
Yes.
So you got to put the effort.
Yes, I agree with that.
All right. So I'm going to go with the order of Jim, Michael, and Neil. And if you guys want to jump in and back and forth, we can do that. And the first symbol up is AMD. And boy, AMD was interesting today, a big event today. So Jim, you want to take us off with that one?
Yeah, the volume was great today, 144 million shares. On a 50-day basis, it's been averaging 138 million. And on a 200-day basis, it's much less than that. So the action on this stock has been very, very big. Obviously, it had a very large drop. And when you deal in a high PE stocks like this, if they don't come out with fabulous news constantly, they get whacked pretty hard. And so basically that that brought us down to around 17 or so in the last few weeks. And that is also right around the 200-day moving average. So all the excess was taken out of the stock, in my view, technically, when it went from the 34 back down to 17. Now the question is, can it get back on its horse again? And it looks like it might. So basically, if I was to be long this stock, I would definitely use two get out points. One would be a couple of weeks ago, we hit about, or even last week, I think we hit around 19. So you wouldn't want it under there. And then, of course, under 17, where the 200-day moving average is. Those two are the lines in the sands. Where could it go on the upside? Obviously, if things get going, it'll definitely be able to fill this gap that came down around 23 on a short-term basis. It gapped down from that level, so it would probably fill that. And then, of course, the 50-day average is at 26. So those would be two targets on the upside, 23 and 26. And my parameter on the downside would be 19 and 17. And it does look like it is trying to turn around a little bit here.
Thank you, sir. Michael, what would you like to say about AMD?
Advanced Micro. I like Advanced Micro, actually, but I think that it's going to suffer through everything that is happening in the broader markets. Today's action was good. It was on good volume. And I think, as you mentioned earlier, there was plenty of options volume today. But I think that along with the balance of the market, I'm kind of seeing that this thing may top out, but it looks like it might try to go fill the gap that was created in October, and which would put it about, what, 22.75, 23, somewhere in there. And before it declined. But I, you know, there's no guarantee of that. But I will say that I think that in a little bit shorter term, it still has additional downside to put in before all is said and done. And as Jim mentioned, we've got the 200-day moving average sitting at 17.13. And that would probably accelerate things if it drops back below that. And the way that I use a 9-day as well, and the 9-day is pointing straight down, and I'm not sure exactly where it will cross the 200, but I'm going to say somewhere around 17. And I'm going to let Jim, when he comes back in, to say what happens when stuff like that occurs in the marketplace. So when the 50 or 9 or 10 crosses that 200. So I think maybe a little bit more upside, but I still believe there's down legs to put in.
Okay, thanks. Neil, would you like to go next?
Sure. First thing that I would say is that when something's down 50% like AMD, it's just going to be a stock to trade after that. It's not going to be a long-term hold. So if I'm looking here, I always look first at point and figure. You can see the clear breakout at 22. I would buy it on the breakout at 22, and then I would switch over here to the Ichimoku cloud, and this cloud will be resistance right at almost exactly 25. So I would buy 22, I would get out at 25, and that would be it.
All right. So for me, first of all, there was a big event today. They had their New Horizons event today. That was at 12 Eastern, 9 Pacific. And I played this. I traded to AMD twice today, made nice money on AMD today twice, with common both times. This pop, almost all of it came off of one announcement at the conference. It was Amazon news. AWS introduces new Amazon EC2 instance featuring AMD EPYC processors. Boom. If you go to a 5-minute chart, that's what that move was today on AMD. And you can see it right there, that one big explosive candle, right? I mean, it's just clear as day. So for me, AMD here is an interesting name. It's been very good to me this year. I've traded in and out of it a number of times on this run-up. It has strong support at that 200-day, and I think ultimately the 100-day and 21-day together here around this 2260 area, if it popped and gapped up, that would be resistance one. And if it pulled back from there and we came back and retouched the W, the 200-day, that could make a nice W formation here. And when you look at this on a weekly, you can also see that, you know, it's right around that area. It has strong support just below here, right? Right at that 200-day where it broke out from, where it consolidated for multiple years into this range. So for AMD, for me here, the one thing I didn't like like after the announcement today was there was no big call buying, right? And when we talk about that, we want to see them come in for a name, not buying weeklies, but buying, you know, saying, we think this stock's going up. We're going to make a big bet into December or January. And we had none of that here today. So for me, right now, until this changes, it's nothing more than a trade because overall, I think the semis remain weak. Anybody like to add anything back on to AMD?
I just wanted to say, look at the 90 on the RSI on the weekly. That's incredible. I don't know if I've ever seen that ever before.
Isn't that nuts?
I mean, when you see something like that, and then right after that, you can see those two little red candles. Just, yeah, they're right about there. Yeah. And I bet if you looked at the daily right there, you would see a little breakdown. Just perfect time to get out.
Right in here. It went sideways. It broke down, held the 8-day, and eventually rolled over. You know, you're absolutely right. That's about the time I got out for the last time.
90 RSI. You got to be kidding me. Think about the people that are buying there. Who in the world in their right mind will be buying on a weekly RSI?
A little trick I always do is I use the CMF indicator. And if you see it coming in and the stock is still going up or sideways, that's usually a sign that institutions are dumping, but retail still buying. And retail be all of us, right?
What is that indicator?
The CMF, chalk and money flow.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Right? So you see it coming down here, but the market, it's not coming down. That's usually an indication that big money's getting out, but retail investors and maybe some hedge funds are still buying it. All right. So anybody else?
Hedge funds that are losing money.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Jim, let's bring it back to you and CRM.
Sure. Salesforce, you know, another great company, had a very big run, obviously, from the end of 17 to, October. It was on a very, very big run up. And then obviously it rolled over. Again, it's in the same kind of group, which is the high PE group. And again, the high PE group has definitely been susceptible. I mean, we saw even Amazon go from, 2050 down $500 because their moving averages were way underneath the market. And also their valuation are high to the point where, they come out with anything that's not absolutely off the chart, people come in and sell it. And I think it's very similar to what happened to Salesforce. Went up to 161, moving averages are down in the 130s, PE ratio is huge, and bingo, you close the gap between the 200-day and the price. Happens all the time, as far as I can see. And now that's behind us, okay? So what are you looking at forward? I think there's a gap that they had there between 134 and 132, so I think I wouldn't want this stock under 132 if I was long it. And I probably wouldn't be interested in buying it until it broke above 138 and 142 to see if it could get back on the train. The volume today was kind of low, 4.5 million shares. And normally in the last 50 days, it's been almost 6.5 million. So in the aftermarket, it is up a little bit. And so, if you wanted to probe the long side here, I'd keep it on a relatively short leash.
Thanks, Jim. One little thing to add, Twilio have reported after hours, so a lot of the software names are gapping up on that big pop on it. We'll see if that holds for them. Michael, go ahead.
Salesforce, my local hero. Mark Benioff, of course, is the owner, the founder, they're still the CEO, and he's a very, very big name here in San Francisco. The company itself, I think, has always provided quality product, and they continue to be innovative in what they do with their products. Now, having said all of that, I'm going to jump right on what Jim said, because I'm in total agreement that there's just too many factors that lined up, and it's kind of like that perfect setup, and it rolled over simply because I think, as with many of the NASDAQ stocks or the tech stocks, over evaluation. And doesn't mean that Salesforce is a bad company. It just means that people were getting a little out of hand about what they thought the company could make or what they thought they could make on a particular stock trade. I think over the near term here that, again, like everything else that I'm looking at, there is still additional downside to come. Now, one thing that I noticed, and Jim, I'm surprised you didn't put this in, the stock closed today at 133.95. I have the 200-day sitting at 133.73. Now, it dipped below it and came back and recovered, but was headed back down towards it, but the bell rang and stopping its progression. So they are buying it a little bit in the after hour, but I think that there's still more downside to come right now. And I think that it might start to gap lower, because I think eventually what we're going to start to see is, as we discussed, Mike, before we started the show, buyers, where are they? They're not going to be around. So you got a bunch to sell. What happens? The market makers don't want it. Our market doesn't want it. And then suddenly you're hitting a button that says sell at the market, and you're going to get not good pricing. So I think that we still have downside. In fact, I likely would think that we could break that 200-day, begin to have some acceleration, and end up somewhere around 115, 120.
Thank you, sir. Neil, thoughts on CRM?
I'm looking here at the monthly chart, and right away, I don't like it at all. Look at this massive candle down. And what I've noticed time and time again over years, and this is all the way back when I was a broker, 20 years ago when the Dow reached 10,000, and then a report came out saying new Dow channel found. We now have a target of 40,000 on the Dow. And when you look at sort of the normal progression of a chart here, going back to 2011, the way it goes up, and then all of a sudden it just takes off like this, a new trajectory of about 45 degrees, that never ever holds. And so now we have this massive breakdown, and I just don't see anywhere to buy this at all. It was to come down and break this monthly again. I mean, you'd have to come with the daily as well, but you could see a move down to 100. And if I look here at this chart here, if it reaches 142, you can buy the breakout, make a $10 trade or so, but it breaks this blue line, you're looking at a move down to about 100. So really bad risk reward.
Thank you, sir. So for me, one of the things I've been saying for a while to my subscribers in this market is that until these high flyers correct and come in, this can't be done, right? And, you know, names like Apple have only just begun to pull back this, you know, the last couple sessions. And CRM was one of those names to me that needed to come down. And, you know, they're really not a growth company anymore, right? So for me, you know, to me, they're not really a growth company here anymore. They are just more of a Microsoft type company, and they needed to come in. So here's your correction to the 200-day. But if you look at a weekly chart, and Neil brought up a monthly chart, I think I'm having issues with my screen. There we go. Let's get it back up. There we go. That, you know, this 50-day moving average held. But I think to your point, the 100 is in play if this market really wants to come in. And they haven't reported earnings yet. So until they report earnings, I think you need to kind of steer clear of this name. I think I'd rather play with names that have reported earnings rather than come in and look at a name that hasn't reported at this point. All right. Let's reverse it here. Neil, we'll let you go first this time. How about SHOP?
Sorry, I wasn't quite ready. What is the ticker symbol?
SHOP, S-H-O-P.
Okay. I was bringing up some reports.
Go ahead. If you have something, put it out there. I mean, that's, you know, we can go off topic.
I'll just wait till I think it's coming up pretty quick on the list. Looking at point and figure, I've never seen it. I don't know if I've ever seen a chart like this. It's completely all over the place. But, you know, when you're in pretty much a bear market, and, you know, unless we rally here, it's very on the edge. But it's hard to, there's this expression where it doesn't matter how close to the bottom you catch a knife, you're still going to get hurt, right? So trying to catch the exact bottom sometimes is a tricky business. But on a stock like this, I know I've been talking a lot about breakouts today, but I would just wait for a breakout at 150 and maybe get a $10 trade or something on that. Let me just go to regular candle chart and on the daily. Yeah, this is just an incredible stock all over the place, but I'm just going to say avoid. Just going to say avoid.
Okay. Michael, your thoughts on Shopify?
My thoughts on Shopify are not actually very good. If I take a look at, I use the daily, at least for the type of analysis that we're doing for this particular show. And it's just not very pretty. It's again, as Neil was mentioning, it's all over the board. It's up, it's down, it's this way, it's that way. I think because the stock is likely incredibly overvalued. And so I did something a little bit interesting. I did a little bit of a probability analysis on this, and I really looked out towards December expiration, which is the 21st of December. And right now there is almost a 34% probability that the stock will be below 127. Not that that's a huge distance from right here, but, you know, depends on how you want to look at it. For upside, there's about a 29% probability that the stock will be above 155. So here you sit with this 155 and 127. What do you want to do with that? It's like, well, if you're an options trader, I think there's quite a few trades that you could probably put in there. Capture the premium. If the stock's going to continue to trade in the channels that it is, you should be able to make some decent money on that. I think that near term, very near term, stock is starting to head down again. I think that eventually it will break below that 122.40 low, which we saw in October, the end of October on the 24th. I think we break below that and continue down. Now, what goes against this stock at the moment is that the 200-day is, well, the 200, where is the 200-day? I showed the 200-day at 142.
143.09 is what I have.
143.09. We're the same because we use the same tool or the same platform. And then I got my near term, my little short 9-day sitting at 137.50. So we broke below the 200, poked the nose back above it today, and then came back down below it and closed well below it, actually. So I think next step is they're going to break 137.50, and then it's like, good night, see you later. And again, you've got that window, you know, 127, 155, and let's see what happens. And this is only, this is, for the next couple of expirations. You got November expiration coming, and then you got December and end of year. If we continue to head lower, then I think that's going to change everybody's end of year play. And instead of we seeing all these money managers running in because they got to prop stuff up and push, they may be deciding, you know what, we're just going to bail. I don't know. Shopify has, from far as I can see, not real great volume for a stock that's trading at $141. But then I always ask myself, who am I? Because I always see people come in and I'm like, okay, but I'm going to be along with Neil, and I would not be looking to get into the stock unless I could put an option position around 155 to 127.
Thank you, sir.
Sometimes you got to ask yourself when you're making a trade if you're gambling or not.
Mm-hmm. Great question. Hey,
am I gambling right now? Wait a second. I think I'm gambling. I'm not going to make the trade.
Sorry, Neil. Jim, what about you?
Yeah, this is the poster child for gambling. It's a company that's losing money, according to what I'm reading here. And it's a company that's gone up over 300% in the last 2 years. So you're up 300% on obviously a concept that's supposed to stick. And obviously it has not stuck so far as the earnings are saying. And you have a market that topped out in July, and it's been deteriorating ever since July. So you've had months and months of deterioration. The only thing is like I say, the moving averages are inverted still to the upside, 145 and 142, and it's trading underneath both. If it did get above the moving average, 145 or 150, then it would start becoming a little bit more interesting. This is a company that's probably very much in dire need of some good news. And if they don't come up with it, then I think the deterioration may turn into acceleration because, again, it's obviously a highly valued company with a company that's losing money. And if all these people that bought in the last 2 years, you know, give up the boat, there's it's a $15 billion market cap. So there's more than a couple of people to come out if they give it up. So I think above 150, it may, you know, look like it, and it had some kind of news to make it go up above 150, then it might become more interesting. But this company obviously is deteriorating, and holding on to things that are deteriorating can be dangerous.
Thank you. I don't have a lot to add. I do not like that name. I do not like the chart. You know, they already had earnings, and that was all the bounce they got. And the bounce here is, I think, as you guys all pointed out, you know, this thing is struggling to get back above the 200 day. It gets above it for a day and it comes right back in. This is not a name I want to be in here. I'd rather find other names to play, stronger names out there, right? Names that look better or look like they have better option flow behind it, better buying and volume behind it. So I'm gonna agree with you guys and move on. And we're gonna come right back to you, Jim, with MFC here.
Yeah, there's a life insurance company. They must be insuring a lot of people that are cashing in on their policies because the stock's gone from 22 to 16. So it's in a downtrend. The 50 day and the 200 day, 17 is the 50 day, and the 200 days at 18 is trading at 1645. It is trying to bounce a little bit here off of the low that it made October 29 at around 15. But the bounce could very well be dead cat because there is a lot of resistance where that 200 day moving average is at 18 and a half. So the financials are supposed to be the place to be. We've heard that for a very, very long time, and that has not been paying off very well. And so this is really part of the financials that despite all the hoopla and all the people saying it's the place to be, continue to perform pretty lousy. And so I don't see much going on here. A lot of resistance above, and I just don't know how far it's going to go.
You know, you bring up a great point. I've been on avoiding the financials tear for the last month because every time they bounce, they sell it off worse. They just don't want anything to go.
They got to pay their depositors now. They didn't have to pay their depositors. They had free money. And then loan demand isn't going through the roof. So you got loan demand that's not going through the roof. And even if you get a loan out there, you still got to pay on the other side. So, you know, the dynamic of inverted yield curve is probably not helping them that much. That and maybe an overall slowing in real estate because, you know, people maybe aren't buying the houses as much as they were doing.
Michael, thoughts on an MFC?
I don't have a lot to add over what Jim has already spoke of. I think that the stock is going to go lower. I think that, you know, they gapped up and now they're have already filled that little gap. And we saw it three days ago. And I think that the stock will eventually break below 15. And I was just trying to do a little bit of math to hold on 1 second with me. 2.5 from there. Yeah, it actually just not much below 15. Maybe it gets down to 14 and a half, maybe as low as 14. And I would say in a stock that's under $20, that's a pretty significant move. And I think it finishes this move below $15. And then maybe it'll rally, and who knows when that'll happen.
Neil. Thoughts?
Yeah, I would avoid it. These stocks are never going to make you rich anyway, on the upside or the side. And on point and figure here, it's got this bizarre reverse triangle, which you ever see. And on a regular type chart here, it's just got low volatility. There's just really no point. Does anyone know the yield on this thing? Maybe the person who wrote it wanted to ask about it because they're chasing yield. And the worst thing you can ever do in a bear market is chase yield, because you're going to end up like General Electric with a yield of 3.5 to almost nothing, a drop of
I'm showing 463, so you're probably right on. If you're going to pick this up, it's probably because you want to get the 463, but while you're getting the 463, you're getting 20% coming out of the price, so I don't know how you get ahead with that math.
The only way you can ever chase yield is when the market really, really tanks for 6 months and you think it's going to be the bottom and we're off to a new bull market. Then you can buy some stocks that traditionally have high yields, because it's going to say, you know, well, anyway, you can win that way. But chase yield now, just when stocks break down, a company like this, they're going to cut their yield and then the stock's going to drop 30% overnight. And then what are you going to do? You got a loss of 30%, no more yield. So never chase yield ever.
It's a great point. You know, and the one thing I would also add to that is that nobody wants bonds here, right? Because even though yields are going up, bonds are coming down. So everybody's, through this sell-off that we've had, this correction for the last month, you guys notice bonds haven't done anything. Bonds have been dead. They barely bounced off the lows. I don't see anything in this company that would make me want. If I really wanted to be in a name, I'd rather be in a BlackRock, or, you know, put me in an AIG, or put me in somebody better. Somebody bigger and better than this. It just chart's not attractive. The name's not attractive. Its volume from a trading standpoint is okay, but just nothing that really attracts me to want to be in this name. So I'm with you guys. I'm going to take a hard pass on this one.
You can get almost 3%. Now in GICs, from what I've seen. I think I saw as high as 2.65, 2.8 maybe. And the Fed raises rates a couple more times, you're looking at 3%, which is what you'd be getting chasing yield in the market anyway. And kind of what I think is, people who are retired, they're going to think, all right, 3% in the bank, it's not much. But considering the risk in the market, I think you're going to see money getting out of the market, going into some short-term yielding instruments that are not volatile.
Everybody, Neil, do you think the Fed's going to raise rates in December?
I think they're going to look really stupid if they don't. Then it's going to look like Trump controls the Fed, and that's going to be even worse.
I agree. Michael?
So I would say they pretty much have to, or they have no credibility at all. And if they raise in December and things are bad with the market, then maybe they'll wait the next time. But if they don't raise it in September and Trump writes a tweet saying, I told you so, I was right, then I think stocks will sell off, because they're going to say, what's going on here? Who is the tail wagging the dog, or what's happening? You know, so they have to, or they have no credibility.
I agree. Michael?
So another thing about the Fed, and this the Fed is based on the Phillips curve. The Phillips curve says that when employment gets super, super high, everybody's basically employed, that causes inflation, which is 1% wrong. It's what they teach you. I mean, I have a business degree. That's what they teach us. I had to write that on my exams, but it's 100% false. And there's many people that are against the Phillips curve. I mean, what causes inflation is massive government deficit spending, whether it's for bogus, you know, programs, corporate welfare, and war causes the most inflation of all. I mean, when you have massive employment and the economy is great, prices actually come down because there's so much competition and wages go up. So everything is just fantastic. But the banks hate that because the government can't go into deficit. So the Phillips curve is a sham. And so, but the thing is, the Fed works off the Phillips curve. So you have to know what this scam is. And the scam is that when everything's really, really great, the Fed will just keep raising rates until it gets to a point where it crushes the economy and things crash once again. So that's about it.
Okay. Thank you for the explanation. Michael, your thoughts, raise or not?
I think that they will raise. I think that Powell will learn to go toe-to-toe with Trump and realize that he's nothing but a bag of hot wind and has no power, even though he assumes that he does. And because I do believe that they and this is kind of just to take the other side from what you said, Neil, and I hope you don't, you know, take no offense, but I do think that full employment is inflationary. I do think that when people are making more money, yes, there's more product available, but they raise the price. And all you need to do is to come out here and live in San Francisco for about a year, and you'll realize that inflation is real, but they mask it and they don't tell the truth. And they because they don't want people to really understand that it's like, oh, gee, maybe you shouldn't be doing what you're doing because you're not going to have enough money. So, but what I think is going on in the bond market also at this time, it's like, I've had a downside target of 129. In fact, I think Mike, you and I agreed one day on a show because we both had 129.
Yep.
Now that it has slipped below 140, I think that what I'm seeing is that a lot of those longer term shorts, and I'm talking about the ones that were like shorting from 150 and above, maybe looking to take off some of those positions going into year end, starting to book some of that profit going into year end. Again, based on where are we sitting? Are they going to raise? Are they not going to raise? And I think that's holding the bond market right where it is. Because, you know, once it starts dropping below 137 and it gets in the 136 handle, I see a lot of buyers coming in. I saw a lot of buyers coming in today again. And, you know, they come in, they do it, and they leave. So, but I do think that interest rates will continue to...
close very weak. I mean, bonds here are lows of the recession right now.
Yeah, I agree. And, but I don't think that the... holding interest rates artificially lower because of some political reason or because we're not putting enough money into the pockets of whomever is bogus and won't live to see the day. And so I think that the Fed will continue to do their job, which is to monitor inflation and deflation and the money supply and act appropriately. So I think, yes, they'll raise.
Thank you, sir. Jim, contrary?
Yeah, in my mind, there's absolutely no question they're going to raise. And, you know, Powell would have to be almost criminally insane to not raise. And here's the thing. First of all, Trump's idea of borrowed money is free money. And he likes to borrow money like he did in Atlantic City, and he hopes the revenue will follow. If the revenue doesn't follow, he defaults on the bonds. And he says, bye-bye, let's go up and make condos in New York. Okay? But we're running a country now, and we can't be quite as cavalier about debt. Now, let's talk something, because you know, I watch this very closely. This is a big thing to me, because I think this is where the trouble is going to be. You've got, where's Fed funds? 2%? And what? Yeah, 2%. That's a joke, okay? That's an absolute comedy, because you've got GDP at 3 and change, right? You've got wages now growing at 3 and change. You've got tariffs that are coming on, and what companies are trying to do in Q4 and Q1 of next year is they're going to try to raise prices. And I, as a consumer, I'm out there watching it, and it's already happening. Didn't we notice that Apple's report said one of the bright spots is the high price they get for the iPhone now?
Right.
So prices are going up. Yeah, where prices are going up, wages are going up, and we've got a $1 trillion deficit, and they haven't even talked about infrastructure. And do you think Trump really cares about the deficit or debt? He thinks revenue, or he sells the idea that revenue, and I'm not political, I'm just saying whoever's president is saying this, right? This is what's going on. What's going on is we don't really care about the deficit because revenue will follow. We're going to grow out of it, okay? And that may very well be, and that is really the best card that can happen here. But I think the more realistic thing is the explosion in corporate debt, the explosion in government debt. We had the highest auction on treasuries last week. Ever. Mm-hmm. So we're talking about a lot of debt from the government, a lot of debt from corporations, and a lot of debt from mortgages. And that the only thing that's not increasing as in issuance is munis, because there's obviously no bridges or roads being built, so they're not issuing debt for those type of things anymore. But the amount of debt out there, you know, this leveraged loan, I mean, even Yellen was in there going, the leveraged loans are so out of control, it's a joke. The covenants are a joke on these bonds. Mm-hmm. And you know what Buffett says? When the tide changes, you're going to find out who's swimming naked. And I think people in leveraged loans are swimming very naked right now. And the amount of money going into leveraged loans is off the charts high. And it could be a systemic situation if it turns over. So do I think rates are going higher? Obviously, you can tell by my voice, I do. And should they be a lot higher than now? I think they should be a lot higher based on the economy, the way wages are going, the way prices are going. And so I believe that for sure he's going to do it as long as we're above 2,400 on the S&P. 2,500 on the S&P. They've got a schedule. They're on a schedule. They know they're way behind the curve at 2% Fed funds with all this stuff going on. What are we, almost 30,000 on the Dow at one point, and we're at 2% Fed funds? You know, that's a joke. And he knows if it gets away from him, it could be a real problem.
I got to say, Jim, very, very, very well stated. Thank you. That was great.
Well, I hope I'm right.
I do too, actually.
I'm guessing just like everybody else, but I've done a little homework on my guess, you know?
Very well said. Thank you.
You know, and I'm with you guys. I think there's no chance other than the market completely collapsing here over the next month.
Yeah, you got to be 2,400, 2,500 or better, and he stays the course. Under that, then he'll start listening to this idea that the world's coming to an end or whatever Trump is telling him if we don't hike rates or whatever.
Yeah. So we're going to get a raise in December. And I think barring the collapse, we're going to get three raises again next year. And I think that's why, you know, Michael, you and I go back to it. These bonds, they don't want bonds because they don't want to own them. They know the value is going to keep coming down as yield goes up, right? And so they just keep dumping the bonds. I mean, that to me was the big thing that was shocking to me the last month. Bonds could barely bounce. I mean, first safe haven in any type of market correction or pullback is bonds.
Oh, right.
Just wanted nothing to do with them this whole last month and a half.
They couldn't get above 140, could they?
Nope.
Yeah.
And Neil, do you have any point and figure chart on the 30-year treasury or the 10-year note?
I look at it every day, and we made 90% on TLT puts a few weeks ago.
So I'm writing about it. Can the point and figure give us a longer-term perspective? Because I'm looking at 10-year graphs on some of the like Vanguard mutual funds that are in bonds, and I see them breaking underneath some levels, and it looks like it could be timber if a couple of events occurred.
Can you see my chart up now?
Yes. Yeah, I was wondering if you could put it up, because if interest rates go up anywhere near, like I think they can go up, it's going to have an effect on equities.
Here's a 2% chart. So every box size that you see is going to be a 2% difference. So what you have here from July 2 years ago, and then this pullback in O's is long tail down, which is bearish. And then here, I mean, when you have, it's kind of tough on bonds. I like to look at something more short term, but have a big long term sort of perspective. So if this is the perspective, maybe we could get down into the low 90s, you know. And if I go back here, I'm just going to switch to a regular chart again.
While you're pulling that up, let me show you some real quick. This is TLT, right? Which tracks the bonds as an ETF. I've been posting this chart all year. Look at this monthly chart and that trend break and failure to get back above it. That I kept saying to you, I think Mike, you and I had a long discussion on this. The path here to me is down. I would not be surprised if we get down to 100 and retest this low right here at some point.
Oh, now I remember. Yeah, you had the 100 and I was 129.
Yep.
Okay. I wrote a report on this actually last night where I said, there's so many people that are seniors that are on fixed income in the United States. And remember, I was a broker and I know how they train us. And what they do is brokerage firms don't want to get sued. Banks don't want to get sued. And so what they do is they make you sign a form saying, how much can you handle your account going down in 1 year? And if people say, 5% only, but I want to make 50%, they say, not going to happen, buddy. And they just put you all in bonds and they're trained to do it, right? And so if you're in something like a balanced fund, that's 50% bonds. And there's people in the 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s in these balanced funds, and 50% are government bonds. And it is a huge loser. It's going to lose. I mean, the 35-year bond bull market since Reagan, when Volcker had rates at, I think, 18%.
Got to wrap this up.
Down to zero is over. It is. You could buy bonds and they would go up in value, you know, a long progression, right? I mean, there was some times where, you know, you obviously have to trade them over a couple years, but the bond bull market's over. So if you know anyone retired, you have a balanced fund, you got to get out, man. You got to get out of these government bonds. They are toxic. They're going to be toxic the next 10 years, maybe 20 years. And you're going to see headlines on The Economist with people that are retired and they're going to have a little cartoon and they're going to say, what did my broker do to me? I thought I trusted him.
All right. I got to wrap this up, Neil. We've been on this for like 7-10 minutes now. So I appreciate it, but we have a lot of symbols to go through. So I got to get us moving here. So Jim, I'm going to jump back to you on Apple and let's try to move a little quickly through some of these symbols.
Yeah, that's why you're the moderator, Mike, to keep us under control.
I know. Well, it's an interesting conversation.
I'll be right to the point on Apple. Apple was very similar to many other stocks that I've been watching. When it goes up to 230 and the 200-day moving average is at 185, my view is the stock's going to come down because it's too high away from its 200 average. That's exactly what's happened, and I thought it would come down towards the 190 area. It is getting somewhat near that area, so somewhere between here and 190, it becomes more interesting to me, I'm not surprised at all that it sold off from the 230 level.
Michael.
First of all, I love Apple. I love Apple as a company. I love the products. But now let's talk serious. Overvaluation reigns supreme in Apple. It's the highest traded retail stock. And I'm just going to throw out some quick probability analysis. We're looking at November the 16th. There's a 50% chance that the stock will be between 184 and 204. 50% chance. If we go out a week, there's a 45% chance it'll be 184 to 204. If I even move all the way to the end of December, the 21st, it lessens a little bit. It's about 35% chance that the stock will be between 184 and 204. Does that mean Apple's a bad company? No, not at all. It means we got to take out some of the fluff, and that's it.
Thank you. You.
Didn't you see the article I put up?
Yep.
This is the reason why you need to run as fast as you can. Why you shouldn't panic. It's just not going to happen. 6 months ago or so, it was the CEO said he didn't like quarterly earnings reports because it interfered with their quote-unquote long-term planning. And guess who did long-term planning 50 years ago? The Soviet Union. And how did that work out? Not so good. They used to make fun of Americans for their short-term planning. Look, is full of hubris, thinks he can do anything he wants in the whole world and not report iPhone sales. You've got to be kidding me. This is a fantastic long-term short.
Thank you.
Wait a sec. You don't have to pay the dividends if you're short the stock, are you?
It gets put into the puts. For me, I thought that the first test of this gap from last earnings, which we never touched, right, would be retested. They just missed it yesterday. So 197.50, my guess is the first touch will bounce off of there. You have a little gap above here. So you're kind of trading on an island right now. I do think it's going to come touch this gap, bounce, and then eventually go down to this gap and fill it all the way down towards this 191 area in the 200-day. And then we see where it goes from there. For me, the market has to turn for this one to get going. I think it's lower. It's just a little bit short-term extended to the downside. Jim, let's go back to you. And the next one up is Micron.
Yep. That's a company, obviously, another poster child for my theory, whatever you want to call it, that when you get too far away from the 200-day, you're going to come back down, which is exactly what it did. This not only came down to the 200-day, it went through it like a knife through butter. So it was up in the 60s. The 200-day was in the 45-50 area, and bam, we're down underneath it now. Bounce back could happen here. Again, it wouldn't be something that I would play, but you can see why it would stop around 30, and you can see why it could bounce back towards 45. So I would say right now the likelihood is that it could be in a trading range of between the 35 area and maybe 45-50 on the best case, with it trying to move up a little bit because semis did pretty good here today. But it's not an area, it's not a stock that I'd be too interested in right now.
Thank you, sir. Michael.
I'm just going to increase Jim's range, and I'm going to take mine down 36 to 44. I don't think we're going to get to 44. I think we've kind of topped out here. Now it looks like it's going to turn and roll. And so we're looking from November the 16th all the way out to December. Into the end of November, there's about a 40% chance that the stock ends up between 36 and 39. And then it starts to lessen a little bit as we get out into December. But I think they're just factoring in the probability of a end of year rally. I don't think Micron has a lot of hope up here. And I'm going to agree with Jim that I think we end up somewhere around 30.
Neil.
We switched to Micron, right?
Yep.
Yeah. One of the things I like to do when I see a big downward turn like this is count how many sell-offs there were. So here you have the first one, 60 to 51, and then the next one, 57 to 47. So we have four sell-offs. The most I've ever seen in one direction is, let's say, 9. So you can count it to the upside here. So a new trend, you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and then down here. But this is very volatile. I mean, I wouldn't avoid it. I would avoid it. We actually bought a Soxel, the triple leverage semiconductor ETF, last week and sold it 2 days later because it was so oversold and I thought it would rally with the market. But here, no, it's really sketchy. What you could do is look for a bounce here. If you see a hammer candle, right at the cloud at about 21, some monthly, you just into the daily.
Thank you.
Yeah. No, I would just avoid.
For me, I actually love this name. I trade it all the time. This name is also moving on China rumors. They do a lot of business in China. So any good China news is going to be very good for Micron. You have a mid-level flag here after a move off the bottom of this 34-50 area and above the 8 and just right on the 21-day here, waiting for the markets to decide. I do think, though, a good chance that this comes lower at this point in the near term, only because the semis are just been weak in general.
Yeah.
And this is just not a great name in that area, but I do think that it holds, ultimately it holds the low and then tries to reverse and come back up. So I like this name long term, but short term, it's just a scalp for a day trade for me.
Why is the PE ratio so low on this compared to other stocks? I mean, I'm showing a PE of like 3.5. 3.5. That's kind of a joke. And it seems like they're making very good money at $11.52 a share. So they're making a lot of money. The PE is very low, which would mean the stock valuation is very, very cheap. And it's a $45 billion company. And I think this, if you're right, if China is pretty good at the end of the month, this is one that could fly. Maybe a limited risk call wouldn't be the worst idea in the world. And the volume seems to be drying up. Only 18 million done today, and it normally goes 40 million.
And they have a $9 billion buyback that just kicked in.
Yeah. So, I mean, speculation might not be the worst thing, would be a call down here.
I like this. Jim, I'm going to skip ahead over Turlig because that one is just really too volatile. Let's try LVS. Let's do a casino, something different here.
Well, the Las Vegas Sands obviously has had some trouble as well as Wynn. Probably nervousness about how Macau could shake out if we start saber rattling, whatever they call that thing. So it has sold off quite a bit from 80 down to 55. And again, I think a lot of it has to do with Macau and nervousness about Macau. So basically, again, you're into the abyss here and you want to take a shot in the abyss. Volume today, again, little light, 4.6 versus 5.3. It's a heavily sold off market. Recent lows are 49. If you think there's a bounce out of here, you know, the 52 week low would be your line in the sand. It's way oversold on the other side. 200 day average is up at 70. So if you're speculating and you wanted to think a bounce may occur and maybe at the end of November, China and Trump shake some kind of hands or drinks in their face, you know, maybe this thing could get going a little bit because it is very oversold down here. $25 underneath its, or $15 at least underneath its 200-day average.
Michael.
I think there's more oversold to come. I think the stock is just getting ready to roll back over and to continue the decline. I think it has one more down leg to do. And that, I think, is going to take it below 49. And I think that it may take to the end of the year. So again, you know, you're talking about a time frame. And I think towards the end of the year, I'm looking at out to the December expiration. I think there's about a 30% chance that the stock ends up around 49 to 50. And then there's a 25% chance that it's going to be below 49.
Thank you, sir. Neil, anything to add?
Yeah, just looking at the cloud here, I mean, this could be a good trading lesson if this was a stock that you watch a lot and it's trading above the cloud here, which is for most of the time bullish. It breaks down and then just barely touches here and it makes a fantastic short. So, you know, in a lot of these things, a lot of people are wondering when is the right time to buy. They'll watch a stock going down, 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 saying, I can't wait to time the bottom. But what you really have to do is you gotta play the market both ways. I mean, there's no reason why you couldn't have just bought some puts here or shorted the stock and then just seen it gone down. So trade the market both ways. If you're looking to buy, maybe you get a chance on a breakout at 58, but it could take a few weeks.
You know, one thing we all have is Wynn has earnings tomorrow night, right? That'll last the casinos to report. And I think that'll play big into how the casinos react at this point. You can look at a weekly chart. You can see all we've done here, we've taken back pretty much the last year and a half or so quickly. And you see this rapid elevator down, right? You know, escalator up, elevator down, holding the 200-day on the weekly chart barely. I do think the casinos are tied to China as well. I think they're all kind of lumped into that boat. I agree with you, Jim, there. If I was going to trade a casino, MGM I like better. I would look at this one. I think Caesar has a buyout catalyst with the CEO leaving the company. This would probably not be the first one I went to. All right, guys, we are almost out of time. We got through a bunch of names. I thank everybody for you know, listening to us go off on bonds. So, Jim, tell us about yourself and how people can get a hold of you.
Yeah, optionprofessor.com is the website. And when you go there, you can get the link to go to the weekly market update. And at the market update, we give our opinions on stocks, bonds, gold, and the dollar. And so that gives you a pretty wide net as far as things you could be looking at. Try to give you up a date on current events and where we think things might be going with the news of the week ahead. So every Friday, we give you an update, and it is free of charge. So just go to optionprofessor.com and get the link, and we'll see you next Friday.
Thanks, Jim. Michael?
If you need to get a hold of me or would like to get a hold of me, Michael at MJF, the number one, partners.com, or Michael at logicalsignals.com. You can contact me if you have any questions about something that I said. Currently, I am revamping the website and revamping how I want to run the business. And I'm going to be moving back towards analysis, towards just providing daily looks at what we're doing. And also, I am working together with a trader that first came to my room. I recognized her extreme talent. And so we are now together putting putting together and already in operation a trade room where our focus is helping the small retail trader. There's a lot more of them than there are these big guys. And having said that, please check the email that David will send out afterwards, because we do have a special offer for those that have an interest.
Thank you, sir. Neil, tell us how to get a hold of you and what you do.
Sure. Just go to traderreview.net and you'll have a form there. You can enter email. I'll give you the best ETF to hold long term, at least fundamental wise. It's up about 20% this year, even though the market is flat. You still got to use technicals, of course. And I send out great overall commentary, even for free subscribers. And I have a service also where I send out my swing trading picks.
Thank you, sir. Lastly, I'm Mike Pisani with smartoptiontrading.com. You can go to my website, come in, and basically it'll take you right here. If you're looking for learning how to trade or what I do or mentoring trading review, click here. If not, click on real-time option flow. I do morning videos. I do nightly recaps. I'm live 3 hours a day, and you get all the option flow and trades and news and events and anything I think is important I put on my private Twitter feed all throughout the day. And we do a weekly mentoring webinar every Thursday night at 6 p.m. to help you out. Thank you, guys, everybody, for joining me tonight. Appreciate it. Hope tomorrow we get some clarity in the markets. David, are you there?
Yes. Thanks, guys. Great show. Just a reminder, be sure to subscribe to Timing Research on YouTube and your favorite podcast network. You can also go to timingresearch.com to get access to the archive of this show or any of the past shows. Be sure to join us next week. I'm going to be in Vegas for the Traders Expo, but I will still be doing the Monday show, Crowd Forecast News, Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on November 12th. But Analyze Your Trade, the show will be off next week and back the week after that. And I just want to thank my guests again for this week. Michael Filiguera of LogicalSignals.com, Jim Kenny of OptionProfessor.com, Neil Batho of TraderReview.net, and Mike Asani of AlphaShark.com and SmartOptionTrading.com. Thanks, everyone.
Thanks, David.
Thanks, David.